Mental Health Monday on Radio City Talk with Mick Coyle.
Radio City Talk.
Now, welcome to Mental Health Monday for another week. It's the 16th of December 2019 today, 9 days to go before Christmas, and we've got two guests in the studio who have got big plans for 2020. And a lot of people are thinking, oh, 2020, I'll be doing this, maybe get a new job, new house, new car. We'll wait until you hear what these boys are up to. Now, if you've seen the TV show SAS, Who Dares Wins, you'll have seen people pushing themselves to the absolute limit. And there are six recruits from that show who are embarking on an incredible challenge. We've got two of them in the studio who are joining us on this week's programme, Rich Allen and James McCorkindale. Rich, James, thank you both for your time. Great to see you both. How are we?
We're good, thank you, Mick.
Yeah, good.
So, like, 2020 is not that far off, right? And we're nearly at Christmas, but already you guys are about to embark on something major in March of 2020. Now, I know from watching the TV show SAS Who Dares Wins, you got to prepare for everything. So before we reveal the details of what the epic journey is, I'm going to ask you, are you right in the middle of training? Are you right in the middle of getting ready for this? Are your bodies ready for what you're going to go through?
At this moment in time, I'm going to say no. So my biggest problem is illness. So it's that time of year. Mm. So I've had the norovirus recently. I've had that infection that everyone else seems to be having. But yeah, preparation's going to be underway. I've been eating correctly. I've been doing stuff at the gym, so I've been doing my weightlifting. But from January, it's literally going to be running upon running upon running three times a day, weighted running with sacks. Then I'll do my altitude stuff as well. So the preparation will be there. It's just going to be delayed till then.
Okay, well, let's reveal a little bit more about it. James, six marathons in 5 days. Well, that seems like a pretty tough thing to do. Before we even reveal where you're going to do it, six marathons in 5 days. What's the most you've ever done in terms of, like, well, epic, you know, endurance events?
The furthest I've been was the half marathon in Liverpool, the rock and roll one, 13 miles. And that was back in when I was boxing and, you know, years back, what was it, 2015 or something like that. And I actually had a fight the night before, only amateur, like not pro, but amateur. And then the next day we did a half marathon. So I'd already been running all the time. So that's the furthest distance I did, because the trainer told me just do long distance, just to suck in the weight, you know, suck it all in, basically, get to keep your weight down. And then since then, before the show, I did another 13, the same route. And I thought, right, okay, I feel I'm fit for fitness, for running and that, because I'm not a runner. I don't enjoy running. You know?
I'm with you on that one.
I was going to say, you're the wrong guys for this next challenge then, because six marathons in 5 days, fine, but you're doing it in Sri Lanka and you're also doing it through rainforests.
Yeah, 35 degrees heat. Humidity is going to be crazy as well.
But also, like, rainforest. So are there paths? Are there routes through? Are you going to be, like, have you got to
There's
take
gonna be
a machete with
but
you?
We've got to still find our way, because you can easily run past a checkpoint, you know? Yeah. And then we might even go, like, you know, a kilometre the wrong way.
To be fair, I think it's going to be more kind of the scenes that we're going to see, because it's not just rainforest, there's going to be desert runs, but there's also parts where we go through little villages and, you know, you've got the locals, they're going to, like, they run out with, like, coconuts and stuff and they're looking after you, and just kind of to see that as a spectacle, I think, is going to be motivation anyway, isn't it?
Yeah. So is this something that people already do? Is this like a challenge that you sort of buy into, or is this like a new and bespoke challenge for you guys?
No, so the company, it's called Ultra X. What they do is they do challenges all across the world. So it's not just Sri Lanka. They ran one last week in Portugal, but they've also got one in Japan.
Mexico.
Yeah, they've got them everywhere.
Did either of you have to get out a map and look where Sri Lanka was?
I'll be honest, I knew it was somewhere in Africa, but not so far down south.
It's an incredible challenge. You're doing it for the Mental Health Foundation as well. There's a video up on the Mental Health Foundation website that people can go to find out some more information in terms of donations and help that's out there as well. I'm going to play you a clip from the video now, which we can listen to on this week's Mental Health Monday. We've got Rich, we've got James in the studio.
It's not easy to be open and honest about our feelings.
In fact, it goes against everything we heard growing up.
Messages like, big boys don't cry.
You smell like a girl.
Be a man.
Suck it up. And suicide is still the single biggest killer of men under 45 in the UK.
So, we want to show men that it's okay to be open and honest about our feelings.
But can we change the way men feel about expressing their vulnerability?
Can we show that it's okay to talk?
To even cry?
And not have it all figured out?
We believe so. We believe that change is possible.
So, In March 2020, six of the recruits from SAS Who Dares Wins are running 250 kilometres through the hot and humid rainforests of Sri Lanka.
That's six marathons in 5 days.
All to raise money for the Mental Health Foundation.
And raise awareness of mental health issues and the stigma surrounding talking about them.
And we all have a responsibility to help.
If you would like to donate, please visit our Just Giving page.
Together we can make a difference.
Together we can change lives. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's the video on the Mental Health Foundation Facebook page as well. We'll mention that Just Giving page as well, which is also on the link to that video there. We've got Rich Allen and James McCorkindale with us in the studio who are taking part in that challenge. Six marathons, 5 days through Sri Lanka, various different terrains. And it's an incredible challenge. 250 kilometres to run in that time as well. In the video, I've got to make the point that you're running on like country roads.
Oh, yeah.
On tarmac.
Yeah.
But for anyone who's seen SAS Who Dares Wins, if you're part of that show, I guess you've got to be ready for most things, to put your body through some incredible things.
Yeah, I mean, there's two aspects, isn't there? So you've got the physical aspect, so that's where the preparation comes. But for me, mentally, you know, that's where the drainage kind of comes in. So
you can't train for that, really, can you?
No, not at all. So it's preparing your mind for that. So that's where the camaraderie comes in and we all encourage each other. But I mean, physically, I'd say we're all going to be ready. But then it's kind of, will we be able to kind of push through the times when we're tired?
You've got to look at injuries as well, haven't you? You could get like blisters and all sorts of stuff because we're running through a lot of water as well, so you're going to get a lot of problems.
Yeah, we're listing all the problems. You know. We're not listing all the benefits as well. But the reason you go in there is the benefits and to raise the awareness of having those conversations as well.
We're proving that, you know, it's a mental thing, this, because we're not. I wouldn't say I've never done a whole marathon. Right, I know I could do one. Okay. But mentally, when you think about six, yeah, in 5 days, that's all going to be a lot of state of mind, isn't it?
Well, I think only as much as that, if you tried to convince yourself it was a good idea, the logic in your mind would say, no, this is a bad idea. And I guess when you're doing things, and it's often the thing I think about when I watch the programme, sometimes you're pushing your body through something which your body's going, doesn't need this. You don't have to go this far if you don't want, but it's that mind over matter. But I guess the thing with doing six marathons in 5 days, you might have to win that battle with yourself, not once or twice, but three, four, five times over and over again. You've got to be so mentally strong.
I mean, a good way I did it for the SAS program was, rather than think of it as one big challenge, I broke it down. So I just treated it as small Maya molehills. So when we were running, I'd have a checkpoint. So I'd treat that as, rather than kind of think of 10 miles, I'd think, right, there's 1 mile and we've got a tree. Once I get to the tree, right, there's nine more trees to run past. And then it's weird, for some reason, your brain processes things in a much simpler manner when you do it like that. And then for some reason, it actually feels easier. So I've got little ways that I kind of work and it works for me and it does make things easier.
You got obviously the prep time now, you're recovering from illness, you got to get the fitness levels up to where you want to be. Does part of you just want to get to it, get into it?
Yeah, you could just say, right, today's going to go as far as I can, you know. But what's that going to, you're not going to achieve? So I'm just going to try and break mine down. Personally, how I'm going to do it, like at the moment I've been doing 3, 4 and 5 miles. Now and again, and I had that chest infection the other week, so I had to can it. And then we decided, didn't we, Rich, in the new year, we're just going to go for it. So we'll break it down, maybe like work up to like 10K every day for a couple of days off, maybe over the weekend, and then increase the distances like that. Because there will be a point where I'm going to have to do like a good 20 miler on a Saturday and a Sunday. You know, that's going to be a tough one. But I've been told to do that. So I'm thinking by experienced runners.
Well,
I'm thinking that's a good point. A valuable tool there.
Well, here's the question then. So you're doing things, obviously, but you've got your individual training program, but presumably that's with a view to bringing you all on board. Yeah. But when you get there, the challenge starts. You're going to be all at slightly different levels, right?
So how does
teamwork play a part there? You've then got to get a total understanding of where everyone else is up to. If maybe that you'll have to pull a little bit of extra weight for the start, maybe someone's going to be a slow burner, maybe they're going to become stronger as you get in, maybe mentally they'll be stronger and all that. That's going to have to be teamwork that you're going to have to build in, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think we're in a position at the minute, though, where we kind of understand where everyone is going to be levels of fitness.
Yeah, we know that from being on the show. We know who's the fittest and, you know, don't we? So we want to stay together, don't we, Rich?
But, I mean, for me, it's if I'm putting a level of commitment in, I expect everyone else to kind of put the same level of commitment in. So I do agree with what you said. You know, some people are going to be fitter than others, but it's like what you said. It's kind of, it's about sticking together, encouraging each other, and then just making sure we're all going to kind of start as a team and finish as a team.
But the camaraderie is brilliant, though, between us all.
I bet.
Yeah. It's kind of something special, you know?
Yeah, me and James are really fortunate because we live literally within 15 miles of each other. But, you know, you've got Mark who lives in Leeds. You know, we've got the other guys who live down south. So it's not like we can just meet up every Saturday and train.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's kind of like individual expectancy that everyone's going to put the time in.
So when people see and they watch the video and hear about the challenge, when they hear about the six and the team and the TV show, when does that, you know, when do the Musketeers all get together? When did you, are you like a pals? Have you got like WhatsApp groups now? Are you like a close network of friends? Did that start from the TV show?
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting because when you do something that extreme, you know, you've got six very different individuals, but because we've done something very unique, it brings us all together. And I mean, it's bigger than the six of us. You know, I'd say between the 25 recruits, there's a good unit of 15 of us that are still really close and still do things. You know, we still have reunions. We've had our nights out. We've gone for meals, haven't we?
Yeah.
And we're quite fortunate because when events like this come in, it means we can kind of come back together as one and do this type of stuff.
We've all been through different things, you know. We've all been through different things mentally as well. So it's a great thing that we've all got each other when we've got low times, you know?
Yeah, and that happens, doesn't it? You know, it's strange because, you know, we've all got friends that we've known for years or through school and stuff. But because, like what James said, we've all gone through something quite dark. If we need to speak to someone, we kind of confide in each other as a group because we know we've got something in common.
At what point did you first have that conversation, or did you feel comfortable within that group to have those sorts of conversations?
Everyone was different, really.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's kind of like you naturally gel with people, don't you? And the six of us that are doing this, I'd say are kind of the six that I've naturally gelled from the show. So for me, what I found really interesting is when you go on the show, because you've got no mobile phones, you have to kind of generate a connection with these people that you've known nothing about. And it's too easy in today's society to kind of sit there, have a conversation like this, and then when the conversation goes flat, they'll pick up their phone and they'll go really quiet. So within a 48-hour window, people who were complete strangers to you, within that time period, you feel really close to, you feel like you know them. And it was a really strange feeling because of that, wasn't it?
Yeah, but when we were out there, you know, when the DS were calling them in, and then they'd come out crying. And then more and more coming out crying. And I hadn't been in. And I was like, what the hell? Why is everyone freaking crying? What's going on here? Why are you crying now? And then because they'd just be asked questions about why, you know, what's mentally, what's happened to them or whatnot, you know, in the past. And then that's when they'd tell us, you know, like Milo, for instance, with his brother dying in Afghanistan, he came out crying. I was like, mate, what's the matter? What are you crying for now? And I just come out with it. And he was all upset. I felt a bit sorry for him. I gave him a hug and everything. I apologised. And he said, oh, don't worry about it. They just asked questions about it. And I had no clue because, you know, we didn't ask him, did we?
No, no.
You know, we did keep ourselves to ourselves.
It's amazing how those conversations come out, though. Yeah. But actually, if you see a little element of that, then it does open a door, doesn't it, to conversation and say, well, you know, there's someone who's experienced something. There's a connection you can make through that. Plus there's the sympathy or empathy you might have with that person as well.
Yeah, definitely. And I said to him right away, I said, Milo, I said, you're going all the way. I said, one, DS are going to love you for that. Two, your family as well, for your brother, and also the viewers. They're going to fall in love with you. And what happened? Exactly that. You know?
Two great guests in the studio from the TV show SAS Who Dares Wins. Don't worry, they're not embarking in any tough challenges here in the studio. With the lifts are working, they don't need to abseil down to the bottom. Although if that was here, he'd probably make you jump. Probably put a paddling pool at the bottom and go, well, there you go, lads. Jump in, you know, let's see what you're made of. Rich and James, they're taking on a challenge of a lifetime in March of next year, raising money for the Mental Health Foundation. And they're going to be doing six marathons in 6 days, but they're doing it 5 days, six marathons in 5 days. And they're doing it through Sri Lanka. They're doing it through desert. They're doing it through rainforest, running 250 kilometres. Let's talk about the reasons why you're supporting the Mental Health Foundation. We touched on it as part of the conversation, James, but men and mental health is such a key thing. And it's not because, you know, men need to be a bit more open to, you know, we need to talk and that's all absolutely fine. Well, we've got to bear in mind that actually men are dying. Men are dying every single day. This is an epidemic of suicide, which is taking people who are our age, you know, huge sections of society who are at risk every day from suicide.
The under age of 45 is the biggest, you know, and like in 2018, there was over 6,500 took their own lives. You know, and that was like 13 men a day. And they're all in silence, aren't they? Say nothing, and then all of a sudden they come. You know, 1 minute I've had friends that have done it myself. You know, my brother was there twice. You know, after his accident, paralysed from a car crash. You know, and that's hard. That's a hard time. So when my mother used to say to me, "Go," he's not answering his phone. Can you go to the house? Can you go and see if he's there? He's not. You know, he's not answering his phone. So I go to the house, and I'd be thinking, "Oh my God," you know, I hope he's, you know, and then I go in there, and he'll be okay. But like he's just in dark, the curtains were closed, and he's in the bedroom, and he's just not getting out of there. And it was, but now he's in a good place now, which is great news.
An example as well, that although we talk about the suicide figures, and you know they're appalling, and they're shocking, and they're a national disgrace, really. That you know we've not been able to take more action against it.
Yeah, that's a massive.
That we can't get more intervention, better funding into these sorts of services. But also, as you hinted there, it doesn't just affect one person. A suicide. There's family members, there's the community. There is many, many more than those 5,000 or those 6,500 who are affected by it.
You know, you've got people that right now, they're totally fine at home, but they look fine, but they're not. They've got things going on. Even their wives don't even know about that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's very scary. And the reason why I say it's scary is, I'm going to use my example. So somebody I know last year took his own life. And it makes me wonder what the mindset is to kind of do something like what he did. And the reason why I say that is he wasn't just leaving himself behind. You know, he had a wife and he had 3 children. So, you know, to kind of be in a position where you feel you've got nothing left to take yourself out of a situation where you've got a family at home, you know, it's the aftermath of what you're kind of leaving behind, isn't it? The mess. Because, you know, he's not there anymore. So, you know, it's the people around him that then have to come together to try and help out.
I think that when you hear about that, it's the testament, though, to the understanding that we require of suicide. Because when you look at it from a, quote, sane or rational point of view, and you try and observe it from the outside, you do start end up saying things like, well, what have you got to be depressed about? What have you got to be suicidal about? Because that's because we don't know. Because we haven't educated ourselves. So we haven't asked that person how they're feeling, and, you know, and maybe why they're feeling like that. And we're still pretty badly equipped, I think, to do that within society. And sometimes we say, oh, let's talk about it more. But actually, let's talk about it. But then let's make sure there are services there ready to go next day. So if someone feels like that, you can say, you know what, you don't have to. The phrase that always sticks in my mind, I was talking to Clark Carlisle, who's a brilliant advocate for talking about mental health, but also for getting help when it comes to mental health. And people who say, I can't go on living. And if you can get them to think, I can't go on living like this, we should be able to say to them, you don't have to go on living like this. We can change things. We can do things. We can make things different. And here are the organisations that can help out. Here are the differences that we can make as well, which is, I guess, why the Mental Health Foundation and organisations
I mean, the biggest challenge for me is just getting people to talk about it. You know, statistically, like what we've got here is it's 73% of men that are doing it in comparison to female. So, you know, for me, that speaks volume. And is that because, you know, the male provider, you know, when you're playing football or we play sport games, you know, we don't kind of sit there and want to talk about emotion, do we? We just want to sit there, egg each other on, and we're very competitive. And it's kind of, I'd say that's probably the stigma that we've got, because when you look at today's society, men sit there in pubs and they'll sit there and they'll drink and stuff. But
and that's
they won't
the present
generally
in itself, isn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, even if they're in the pub, they won't sit there and talk about how they're feeling emotionally.
Yeah, exactly.
It's more about football, or they'll talk about work.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'd say this is kind of the biggest problem, just people's unwillingness to open up and talk about it. Yeah. So I just hope with foundations being put in place, when someone feels as low as they do, that they're going to be prepared to call up the phone or go on the website or speak to somebody that's prepared to help them. Yeah.
Have you found with TV shows like the one you were on that actually they've had to start going into this idea of talking about mental health as well? Because otherwise, SAS Who Dares Wins would become just sort of like a macho show. Yeah. Who's going to do the maddest stuff for the longest amount of time? Who's going to man up to the max, you know, and all that? You could go down that route, couldn't you? And there'd be certain sections of society who go, oh, this is a sort of show when men were men. But actually, there's been the elements, and you hinted at it before when talking about Milo, that people have got a backstory. People have got emotions. There's one thing going on the outside, but actually on the inside, everyone's got their own story as well.
Yeah. We've all, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's probably, I think people's fear as well, you know. I think if people are fearful that if they open up and talk about mental health or if they're feeling depressed or something, that they're not going to be socially accepted and people won't be friends with them because of it. But, you know, the reality is it's okay to talk and people will still be your friends and, you know, people are there. Friends are there to help each other. And, you know, we should talk about it more. We should help each other out more. And, you know, we shouldn't feel like we suffer in silence. Kind of, for me, no matter what you do as profession or no matter what sports you play, you should be able to speak and confide in the people around you.
Don't be embarrassed about it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, there's a Just Giving page for your challenge. 6 marathons, 5 days, Sri Lanka. Just mention the rest of the team, by the way.
Yeah, okay. So we've got
because they're on the photo and you're not. You've been cropped out.
No, I was on a photo shoot that day, so that's why I wasn't there.
There's a better photo of you somewhere else.
Either, Mark wasn't, he couldn't make it. So there's Mike Macy. You've got Milo, as we mentioned before. And we've got James, Big James. And myself, obviously, Rich. And Mark Pert.
Yeah, so, I mean, you will. I mean, a lot of the people that watch the TV show will know the guys.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, Mark won the show as well as Milo.
Yeah.
So, people recognise them for obviously that reason. And then James, his story was slightly covered on the TV show because he suffered from alcoholism and stuff. Yeah. Well, he's come on leaps and bounds.
Yeah, broken neck, didn't he?
A really good thing that's going to be happening is when we're out there, he'll be celebrating 4 years sober as well. So
yeah, and also we'll Mike, now he's 12 years sober. We didn't see much of him, unfortunately. He got cold really early on.
Right.
So we didn't really find out much about him. And he's been through an awful lot, hasn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, Mike's got his book out and Mike's story is unbelievable, to be fair. To be in the position that he's in now, when you know exactly what his backstory is just insane.
Yeah.
But it's interesting, actually, that you guys all know each other so well and actually it's not just, you're not contestants on a show who then disappear off to Fernando's.
You can't think about it,
we kind
of met for a purpose.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, things we're doing now, all this positive stuff that we're doing, it's come from the show.
The good thing about going through Just Giving is people then add comments. So Danielle says, good luck, boys. I'll donate more nearer the time. All the best for the training. Great cause. Louise says, I want my son to grow in a world where men can share just as much as women and their mental health is just as important. Boys can cry. Boys can have feelings as well. Various different people donating all the time to that one. That's at justgiving.com. And the thing you need to look out for there is SAS Ultra X. That's right, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yep. SAS Ultra X. It looks like Ultrax, which looks like something you have to, it's like a cream you got to rub on a different part of your body. But SAS Ultra X, which is on the Just Giving page as well. Type that in. That'll come up. We'll also get that up on our social media as well. You're looking to raise £10,000 for the Mental Health Foundation, and we'll get all the details up on our social media as to how and when you can support the team. In terms of when you go over there, is it tents? Have you got hotels?
Yeah, tents. Yeah. We are actually all together.
Oh, yeah, we're slumming it. It's not luxury five-star hotels. So, like what James said earlier on, there's going to be checkpoints. And when we get to the end of the marathon, we've all got tents for the evening.
But you've got, I mean, recovery time built into that.
Yeah,
but
you're really slow, you're going to get less time, right? You're going to miss a meal as well.
Well, you've got 6 in 5 days. So is there like a...
One of them is basically the distance from Chester to Salford.
Right.
After looking at the website and stuff,
almost over 40 miles.
I'd say it's more like a pyramid.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it starts off like a shorter distance and it's going to increase and increase.
The last one, the half marathon, I think, something like that.
Right. But you're pretty much on the go and there's no ice baths or...
No, unless you find a river, which we will do. Yeah. Well, Mike's involved.
Well, you'll need it as well.
It's cold water. Yeah. you'll find one.
You might need to have a bath or two
throughout
the entire challenge as well. And then you come back as well. What's next after that? You're taking on these challenges together. You've got the camaraderie together. What goes beyond?
I've always
March
done mine
2020?
On my own. I've been across the Arctic. I've done that one for spinal research. I've been to Mont Blanc. I've done all that. So they're all individual now. I've decided, you know, I'm enjoying this now with the team. So, you know, we might do something with other recruits. Might not just be us six, you know.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think you've got six personalities who are into extreme events.
Yeah.
So Ultra X at the minute, we're kind of looking at that one because obviously we want to make the money. But then what we'll do is we'll do this event and I'm pretty sure we'll probably look at another challenge and we'll kind of keep the team the same or try and bring us some more.
This is a grueler though, mentally for me, because I do not like running. When you mentioned it to me, I said, you know, before you even mentioned what it was, do you fancy a challenge? I'm like, yeah, straight away, what is it? And they mentioned about the marathons. I'm like, oh, really? Yeah, I'll do that. Let's do it.
If it was twice as far, but it was walking, would you rather do that?
Oh, I think I'd trot it, you know.
I think as well, when you take on the challenges, you know, you do like, but it's always like, so you've done the Arctic, so the coldest, then it must be, you know, the hottest, then it's the highest, and then it must be the lowest, and all those different sort of extremes throw up all the different
now it's
sort
heat.
Of challenges.
And I thrive in the cold.
Right.
I really do. when we found out it was Chile, which we didn't know, did we?
No.
Until the day we were flying out, where we were going, okay? Then when we found out it was going to be Chile, I was like, oh, great, I'm going to thrive here. It's cold, brilliant, love that. But, you know, the heat for me, it's horrendous.
Well, good luck with it.
Going to need it.
Yeah, your gear, you'll be wearing, what will you be wearing there? You're not going to be wearing running trainers, are you? Will you be able to wear running trainers?
To be fair, we're kind of looking, well, you were saying to me on the way here, weren't you? We're probably going to take two pairs of trainers.
A couple of pairs.
Because what we'll hopefully do is get a little bit more information when we're there on what's going to happen per day. So then we'll obviously change trainers.
Sponsorship as well, you know, with some of the kits we've had a bit already. So that's
really do with a cold snap in Sri Lanka, though, yeah?
Yeah.
Minus 15.
Bring it on.
Yeah, absolutely. And James absolutely comes into his own. Thank you both for your time. Thanks for joining us on the programme. A brilliant cause, the Mental Health Foundation, through the SAS UltraXJustGiving.com page as well, raising money for the Mental Health Foundation, looking to raise 10 grand. They just started that fundraising as well. The event itself takes place on the 21st of March. Is that the dates running through to the 29th, or walking or crawling, depending on how they're feeling by the end of it. Look forward to hearing how you get on, gents. Thank you for joining us on the programme today. Thanks for being honest about your own stories and sharing your own journey as well. We wish you all the best. We'll get all the details up on our social media too. That's at Radio City Talk, and I'll put some up on mine as well. Don't forget, if you've been affected by any issues that we discuss on the programme, you can find mental health services close to you. You can do so via the Hub of Hope, hubofhope.co.uk. That'll find mental health services using your postcode as well. There's an app for iOS and Android too. It's Radio City Talk.
Mental Health Monday with Mick Coyle.
Radio City Talk.